Thank you very much, Wayne. We now have Dr. Kenneth Katzman, who's the senior specialist writing reports and advising members of Congress on issues pertaining to Iran, Iraq, the Arab-Israeli conflict, and other transnational issues. He's prolific in the voluminous reports that he prepares that are accessible to people engaged in foreign affairs, policy analysts, policymakers, policy implementers. Dr. Katzman.
Thank you, John, and thank you for having me again. I always enjoy speaking before these great conferences, and happy Halloween, everybody. In regards to Sheikha Lubna's great speech at lunch, Iran is a neighbor of the UAE. It's a neighbor that's sitting on three islands owned by the UAE, but it is a neighbor of the UAE. That's correct. The title of my talk today, and I have a few extra copies, is called Iran Capturing Iraq. Iran Capturing Iraq. So I've been asked to address Iran's influence in Iraq. With the conventional military and WMD threat from Saddam removed, Iran now seeks to ensure that Iraq can never again become a threat to Iran, whether U.S. forces are in Iraq or not. I used to ask, when panels like this, 2 years ago, I would ask my peers on the panel, does Iran want the United States in Iraq, or do they want us out of Iraq? And the answer that would universally be given 2 years ago is both, or neither. Well, now I think the answer is becoming clearer. Having secured Shia control over Iraq, Iran now, they were ambivalent 2 years ago, until Shia control was consolidated. Now that it is consolidated, Iran wants the United States out of Iraq. I think that's becoming clearer. By supporting armed Shiite factions, Iran's influence in Iraq has at times hindered U.S. stabilization efforts and has heightened the threat of U.S. perception threat of Iran generally. However, Iran is now itself facing difficult choices because its Shia proteges in Iraq are now at odds with each other. This even Iran did not expect. During 2003 to 2005, Iran calculated that it suited its interest to support the entry of Shiite Islamic factions into a U.S.-led election process because the overwhelming majority of Shia, numerical majority, would produce a Shia government, which is exactly what happened. Iran, in fact, helped assemble the Shia Islamic bloc called the United Iraqi Alliance, which includes the Islamic Supreme Council of Iraq, the Dawah Party, and the faction of Muqtada al-Sadr. A senior Dawah leader is Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Several leaders of the Supreme Council control other positions. The Sadr faction's ties to Iran were initially limited after the fall of Saddam because Sadr's family was not in exile in Iran or elsewhere. Sadr's family was still in Iraq, and his ties to the Iranian leadership were not formed really at all. It's only later that Iran started to really reach out to Muqtada Sadr when they saw that Sadr had his Mahdi army, which I'll call the Jaish al-Mahdi, or JAM. It was becoming a powerful force, and Iran said that this is a force we cannot ignore. We need to place some bets also on this group. And Iran began supplying arms to the JAM through the Quds force, the export of the revolution force of the Revolutionary Guard, which it's the unit that goes abroad. It started really as the Lebanon, the unit that helped form Hezbollah's militia, and it evolved to a sort of a force that goes abroad and helps Shia movements, not only Shia, but movements outside Iran. What happened, though, was Iran's strategy, which was going so well, actually tripped up Iran in 2007. Why is that? Because the United States, President Bush, decided on the troop surge. And he told Prime Minister Maliki, we're going to help stabilize this deteriorating situation, but in exchange, you must allow us to go after Sadr and the JAM. Maliki really had no viable choice other than to say, okay. And what happened was the United States, the troop surge forces, started going after the JAM. And what happened? Sadr broke with Maliki. The alliance unraveled. Sadr pulled out of the United Iraqi Alliance. He pulled his five ministers out of the cabinet. And we began getting battling between the JAM and the government forces, Shia-dominated government forces, throughout southern Iraq. It is primarily Iran's arming and training of the JAM that has added to U.S.-Iran tensions over Iran's nuclear program and broader regional influence. And where I may differ with Wayne is that the key threat from an Iranian nuclear program is not necessarily that Iran is going to attack Israel or use the nuclear weapon. The threat is that Iran will be emboldened because no one will be able to retaliate against Iran. It will be emboldened to further all the aggressive policies in the region that Iran has been pursuing. That's the key, I think, drawback to a nuclear Iran. We have, of course, specific evidence that Iran is shipping numerous type of weapons to the JAM. General Petraeus has testified to this, and we now have some of these JAM elements are now consolidating into what's called special companies or special groups. Some call them rogue breakaways of the JAM. I happen to consider them still JAM, who are just simply continuing radical activity. And so I described this break between Maliki and Sadr. Now, provincial elections are scheduled in Iraq for early 2009, and Maliki, in advance of that, wants to suppress the strength of the Sadr faction. And this, I think, explains why he launched his offensive on Basra against the JAM in 2008. And I totally concur with Wayne that part of the reason the government forces did gain the upper hand was not their own ability, but really Petraeus and the U.S. military and the British military supporting them. I think had that not happened, the ISF was very close to fracturing in Basra and would have had to retreat in humiliation. So Sadr, seeing what's going on, has now tried to retrench and is bringing in the JAM and saying they will do political, social, and cultural work. Some U.S. commanders say they've gone to Iran. They're waiting to come back. Some are maybe coming back, trying to influence perhaps the elections, the provincial elections. Now, how is Iran consolidating? Well, you know, to head a lot of this off, the United States decided actually on direct talks with Iran. This was unprecedented. The United States, since the revolution, had not really had direct talks, but we've had them in Baghdad with Iranian representatives. And those seem to be not making too much progress, but at least they were ongoing. Now, in May, Iran, seeing that it has basically consolidated control of its protégés in Iraq, has said, we will not attend these talks anymore. And this, I think, this reflects Iran's growing confidence in its position in Iraq, that it no longer feels it has to talk to Ambassador Crocker. Iran has also exploited its close ties to build broad political and economic influence. Iran has pumped lots of loans into Iraq. We've had at least two increments of $1 billion each in credits extended. And not only is Iran doing development work in the south, it's also doing development work up in the north with the Kurdish, in the Kurdish area, building roads and doing construction. So Iran is not just pursuing a Shia-only strategy, Shia-Arab-only strategy. It is also pursuing, to some extent, a north-south strategy in expanding its tentacles inside Iraq. Now, the big test is the U.S.-Iraq Strategic Pact, and I think it is clear from this, Iran wants us out of Iraq. Iran is working overtime to scotch the pact entirely. Iran is making a lot of progress to do that. They stiffened the resolve of Maliki and his allies to insist on a timetable for a U.S. withdrawal in that pact. President Bush acceded to that request, to that demand, really. But now even that is not enough. Iran continues to try to pressure various parliamentarians. General Odierno said Iran is trying to bribe Iraqi parliamentarians to vote against the pact if it gets to the parliament. And Iran is also continuing to help the Sadr faction, which is going against the pact on the street level with regular demonstrations against the pact every week. So Iran is really using all its leverage to try to scotch the U.S.-Iraq strategic pact, and this is because Iran does not want Iraq to serve as a potential aircraft carrier for a U.S. potential strike. Not that any strike is imminent or going to happen, but Iran wants to make sure that the United States does not capture Iraq. Iran feels that it has captured Iraq, the title of my talk, and it is continuing to tighten that grip. And the Arab-Persian differences that many said would cause the two to split apart have not materialized. Maliki has visited Iran 3 times. He's invited Ahmadinejad to visit, who visited in March. And all the signs are that Iran is increasingly tightening its grip over Iraq. Thank you.